Hey, and welcome to episode 6 of She Gets It Done. And today we are talking about, is my dog protecting me? Yes or no? And if it's no, what's my dog doing?
Welcome to the new episode of She Gets It Done. Make sure to hit subscribe, comment, or like. We hope you love this week's episode. Enjoy!
So the reason we started with this subject is because a lot of owners think that their dog is protecting them, either inside the house when strangers come in, sometimes even from their own family members, or when they're walking the dog and the dog is like barking and reactive to people. It's often interpreted as my dog is protecting me. When really, I'd say 99% of the time, they're not protecting you.
And we see that also in like sometimes your dog is, people have their dog and they're fine and they're happy, and the minute someone approaches, that's when the dog loses the shit. So I think when that situation is the one that gets the most called by owners
Protecting.
protecting, because the dog's fine until someone approaches, so that it really does look like a protective gesture.
Yeah, I think it might be good if we go straight into the Leo video so we know what we're like. If you're watching this on YouTube, there will be a video where we show you a case of protecting that is not protecting. And if you're on Spotify or Apple, then you'll just have to go to the YouTube video bit and just watch it for like 10 seconds. It doesn't take very long. So we have this video. This is Leo. That's mom here on the left, and that's dad. So they live in the same house. And every time dad tries to hug mom, this happens.
Okay, so this is anywhere near mum. Right, Leo, stop.
Stop. Leo, down.
All right, so just to the back again, front again.
Okay, so this is
So he tries to go near mom, and the moment
anywhere
he does
near
that,
mum.
Leo steps in. There
For people that don't see the video, it's a really
we go.
clear video of like mom is standing there in the middle of the lounge, and the dog just like lunges at the dad as soon as the dad approaches mom, and it really does look like he's protecting her, because he's really taking the guy away from her, and it's working.
It is working. So, and a little bit of background on that. So Leo does this with mom mostly, but also a little bit with the kids, but especially also with the couch. Like he has a certain spot on the couch and no one else is supposed to sit there. And if you do, he will make you, he used to make you move. I mean, this is 2 years ago now. So he does this with quite a few things, but obviously it is a very easy link to look at it and say like, oh, my dog is protecting me. But what really is happening is that you are being resource guarded by your dog. And that basically means that your dog thinks you're his possession, and now he has to defend his possession really from being taken by someone else. So if you have a dog that resource guards food, it's often understood way easier because, hey, that's my food, don't take my food. But you can also get resource guarded as a person, as property, a couch, like all of that is all resource guarding.
You're just like a giant big bone, basically.
Yeah, you turn it to a giant big bone. That's right. So this can happen to any breed, any dog, any age. I mean, some dogs are more prone to it than others, especially the guarding breeds, right? That's way more common there. But any dog can do it. I think of trained Cavoodles that did it, and German Shepherds, to Cane Corsos, to, well, Shih Tzu. I think I'm doing a Shih Tzu at the moment that does it a little bit.
Yeah, and it makes sense that it could be any breed, because this type of behavior comes from a dynamic. Not always, like sometimes there's a bit of genetics, obviously, but most of the time you see it happening because the dynamics in the family or the dynamics from the owner with the dog is a certain way that makes the dog think, well, this is my stuff. Don't want people to touch it. So I think that's why, yes, it's more prone in guarding breeds because that's what they do, but also any breed can do it because if that's why you treat your dog, every dog you have will do the same thing.
That's it. So, I think first we need to have a look at reasons why your dog may start resource guarding you, a person, a space in the room, or a couch, or furniture in general, and then how to fix those things, which then are separated into inside issues and outside issues. Because, some dogs don't guard resource guard outside of the house, but only inside the house and the other way around. You want to start with the reasons why a dog is resource guarding?
Oh yeah, number one, my favorite, lack of leadership. Like there is no clear indication in those dynamics of who is in charge of this group. And I'm not gonna go into alpha and pack leader and stuff like that, but dogs are family orientated and they live in groups. Like that's how they understand the dynamics better. So when there is no clear leadership from the owner that, hey, I'm in charge here and you just have to do what I say, then the dog starts getting confused and starts thinking that, oh, no one's making decisions here. I'm gonna make the decision. Or like, yeah, well, this is my owner and I like it when my owner has, he's petting me all the time, and I don't like it when other people are
Take that away from
approaching
me.
them. Yeah, they say like, get away from him, and then you're taking my pet machine away, So all those things, they to me, they start from that, from a lack of leadership. So that's a big one.
Definitely. And
And
then,
then what else?
yeah, you would have, and that then often seeps into that they don't have faith in your leadership as well. So they lose faith in handler. I think at least that's how dog trainers like to call it, right? And that especially when you go outside, and a dog is already insecure, then the dog will think, oh, you don't know how to fix this problem, so I'll have to fix it. And they usually choose a way to fix it that we don't like. Yeah, because well, that's how dogs do things. They growl and they bark and they lunge to get the other people or dogs to move away from them, right? And then what often happen is that we as owners go with that. Like we join that, like, oh my gosh, it's okay, it's okay. Like they go, like we send them the completely wrong message. What we try to do is then comfort the dog and say, no, you're okay, blah, blah, blah. But really, we need to tell the dog, this is not your job. Do not do that. Right? So, but the more we comfort them, the more they think, oh, this is what I'm supposed to be doing to keep my group safe. Yeah, that's often what I
And
think is happening.
you hit the nail in the on the head here, because I was thinking there's those sayings, all those memes that go around on Facebook, and there is one I really, really don't like that all the fur parents or dog lovers love. It's the one that says, if your dog doesn't like someone, they're probably right. You know what I mean? Like, how detrimental is that? Because yes, okay, dogs can sense fear, they can sense feelings a lot better than we do, which is why sometimes they react to other people in sort of a random way. But no way your dog is protecting you for the old lady in the park, And like, and even if that old lady wasn't a nice person when she was young, it doesn't matter.
The dog
You
isn't a
know what I
mind
mean?
reader.
Exactly. So I feel like that type of saying that, dogs know better, and like if your dog is growling at a person, it's probably right and he's protecting you and you don't know it because you don't know that person, but they're a criminal. That's bullshit, And I think
it's so detrimental, because if you have a dog that is resource guarding you and you believe that, you're basically feeding that behavior. You're like, oh, well, he's doing that. So, because it's like giving alcohol to an alcoholic. Like, stop doing that, because you're just making the problem worse. Like, your dog does not know if that person is good or bad. Like, there's plenty of bad people that have dogs, and those dogs love their owners. And, there's plenty of good people that are afraid of dogs. So, dogs respond to that. And now, apparently, that's a bad person. Like, my auntie's terrified of dogs, and dogs probably will respond weird to her. That doesn't mean she is a bad person. So, I totally agree with you there. Oh, that really frustrates me, that one as well. I'm like, oh, can we just move on? Because you're making the problem worse.
And the feeding into it, like, why are people, so quick to say my dog is protecting me? Because it feels good. How good is it to have the dog that protects you? Oh my God, this dog is not even trained and it protects me. So we really, like, we don't know how much we're feeding into that because it does have that feel good
Feel
element, like, oh, I was walking down the street and there was this guy over there and he didn't look, so good. And like, my dog just went crazy at him. Phew! You know what I mean? Like, and so by just doing that, even if nothing happened, we like positively reinforced the dog for doing that. So that's also a big one. Like, my favorite thing at the moment is to tell people, check your feelings, because the way you are feeling about this behavior is what's feeding it. So that's also one. That's it.
I was gonna say, and that's mostly for outside stuff. Inside the house, it's often too much love, and giving in to the dog. So, for example, in Leo's case, who resource guards the couch, the dog won. The dog won that fight. Well, it wasn't a fight, but the dog took a stand and said, no one can sit here except my mom. And everyone listened. They were like, okay, well, I guess that's Leo's spot now. So then the dog learned, hey, this behavior works to get what I want. Yeah, so that can also happen. Like, if you have a dog that sleeps on the bed with you and he growls when your partner tries to get into bed, and then your partner walks away, even if it's to just brush their teeth or whatever, your dog learns, hey, growling makes that guy go away, so I'm going to keep doing that. Yeah, so those type of things. So, like, if you let your dog get away with those behaviors, it's going to get worse. And if you get too much love and not enough bounce, like, we're not going to say, like, you can't pet your dog can't be on furniture, because they can. But there need to be boundaries in place. You need to be able to tell your dog, get off the moment you want him to get off, or you might invite them on. Or if you have guests over, when people say, like, oh, well, when I have guests over, that's my dog's spot, and guests just have to sit somewhere else. I'm like, no, the dog is under your guest. And that doesn't mean your dog isn't as amazing as you think they are, because they are. But you should be able to tell your dog, move so my guest can sit. If you can't do that, you have a really unbalanced relationship with your dog that causes resource guarding.
And that's the thing, when people come at us to us and they're like, oh, I let my dog sleep on the bed or on the couch, to me that hasn't it there's no problem, as long as if you snap your fingers and you're like, get out of bed, the dog will do it. If the dog does that, yeah, fine, the boundaries are set. Like, boundaries are there. I need my bed, get out of it. But yeah, the problem starts, and this kind of resource guarding or protecting starts then, when the dog thinks, oh, that's mine. So yeah, in my house I'm very careful with that bit, because I had children when they were little, my boys, and now my daughter. And it was always, if the kid wants to be on the couch, then the dog has to move away, you know? And like, of course, if the dog is sleeping nicely and not doing anything, I'm going to also teach my kids not to annoy the dog.
Sit somewhere else. Exactly. You know? Yeah.
Exactly. But like, if the couch is big and the kid's like, but I want to sit there where the dog is. No, fuck off. You know, but like, in a case of everybody's moving around and the kid wants to sit in some certain spot, yes, the dog has to yield and get out. And for me, that's where we are showing the dog, this is not your couch. This is my couch, my son's couch, my guest's couch or whatever, but you are last. And if the couch is free, you can go for it. Well, if we need to use it, you have to move.
That's it. And that's a boundary. That's a rule. It doesn't need to be like a strict, you can only ever lie on the dog bed. It's just, that's the rule. And stick to that rule and make it clear to your dog, right? And that alone, that's you being a leader. We don't mean to be Cesar Millan style and alpha dog training. That's, let's just leave that where that is, right? But leadership is a thing in dogs. And the lack of it, I think, causes a majority of the issues.
Yeah.
So how do we fix some of these resource guarding issues? I'm looking on our list, and I think one of the things we should put on there is get a professional to help you out. Yeah. So it's not on there, but I would think if it's as bad as, for example, the video that I just showed, you definitely need a professional to come and help you out. If it's not as bad, you could probably experiment a bit with the tips that we're gonna give you now.
The thing with the professional is that we can see subtle things that a person that is not trained will not think it's relevant. I think that's where we're always, and like on Facebook, you can't see those things. For example, the tiny bit where your dog is looking at the couch or is looking at you and is going to go for it, we see it. So we can be like, hey, you have to like change that now before it happens. So this is why it's important to get a professional in. It's not just because we want to make money. It's just because some things you just have to like see it and be like, look, this is the part where you need to do something with your dog. And most people, when you say that to them, they're like, oh, I didn't even see it. Yeah, that's what the professional does. They see those subtle things. And with dogs, everything is subtle. Yeah, so that's why I like that. You know, the drag leash, that's part of the things I really like to use for resource guarding or protecting.
So yeah, let's talk about the drag line for a bit. So drag line is basically putting your dog on lead in the house. I usually recommend getting like a really light lead, sometimes even a puppy lead, you know, the ones that don't weigh anything, and then to cut the handle off so your dog doesn't get stuck on anything when they're dragging it around the house. And the reason I love that is because you can intervene instantly and just pick up the lead and go, no, move. Yeah, we don't have to physically handle the dog. We can just, and anyone in the house can do it. They can go, move aside. Don't do that. Which I think is like major. Like, I'm actually having a client at the moment with Griffins. They're very cute. But one of them is super, super insecure. And what he used to do is he would bark and chase after guests coming in the house, especially if they walk towards mum. But he would also sit on the same chair as mum, always snuggled in right here. And then mum would pet, right? Because he is such a scaredy cat dog. You think you're doing the right thing by comforting him, but really you're feeding that behavior of him thinking he has to sort it out. So this week, I saw on Friday for the second time, this dog has been wearing a leash for a week, and she said it changed everything. And also saying like, nah, you can't be on the couch with me. You can't be this. You need to go on that bed to set those boundaries. Has like, he's been way more relaxed. He hasn't chased anyone. He hasn't snapped at anyone. So you see how quick the change can happen, but just giving that boundary and using the lead, it's a communication tool. It's not just a tool to walk your dog.
Yeah. And I have a quick case of that I solved online. One of my clients who had a lovely dog, she spent a lot of time in bed because she was ill, and the dog had the habit of so took the habit of sleeping on the bed with them all the time. And then she healed and she was like, but now I can't get the dog, like my husband can't come in the room anymore because the dog thinks it's just me and her, and this is a big dog. And she, I was like, okay, well, make the dog go out of the bed. And she's like, yeah, but when my husband grabbed the collar, the dog growled at him and we got scared and we think he's going to attack us. And I was like, put a lead on him. And next time, just grab the lead, not the collar, drag him by the lead, get him out of the room. And they did it once. And that was it. And the dog, it sort of snapped him back to his old way of, oh yeah, this guy belongs in the bed and I don't have to be here. Just the leash, because they were able to take the dog away without him growling at anyone for like grabbing them by the collar.
Exactly. It's and very it was, confrontational if yeah, you have to grab a dog by the neck. Yeah.
Whereas taking the lead, oh, it's like taking the lead. I'm going to lead you out of here.
Perfect.
And it was absolutely none, like I wasn't there, but the owner told me she was not confrontational. The dog didn't get angry, didn't growl, didn't do anything. He was like, oh, okay. And he just went out of the bed and out of the room. And that was it. End of story.
Nice.
And it never happened again, you know? Whereas it could have escalated into the dog more and more resource guarding the owner or protecting his owner.
Yeah.
He wasn't protecting her, but you know, we could have been interpreted that way, but it didn't because of that little drag leash.
Perfect.
So,
and
I love drag
leash. Like the same with Leo, he wore a lead in the house for like 4 weeks. So the moment he would make the wrong decision, nope. Yeah. Whereas if you have to grab a dog by a collar and they want to be serious, you're very close to their mouth. Yeah, you don't want to do that. And then a lot of dogs don't even wear collars in the house. So now what do I do? Yeah, now how do I move the dog? So that's, the drag line is so important when you do this.
Yeah.
The other one, especially if your dog is protecting you, you need to work on that relationship. And the person that's being protected has to do the correcting. They have to step it up. Because what we see, for example, again, back to that video of Leo, the dad that's getting attacked by Leo is trying to do the correcting. No. Right? But Leo doesn't care about what the dad has to say because they don't have that relationship. He needs to hear it from mom because he thinks, oh, sorry, got to sneeze and it's stuck. But he thinks, I need to protect my mom. So mom is supposed to say, hey, this is not your job. You need to stop this now. Yeah, and I think that's a really important one. You, as the protected, need to start telling your dog, what do you want them to do instead? Yeah, you want them to move, you want to correct them, actually correct them. You want to use that drag line and go, nope. Yeah, so it has to be done by, that person.
Yeah, that's true. And it gives the dog the clear indication that, hey, you don't, like, I'm not your thing to guard to protect. I'm doing that myself. And you move back because I'm going to sort this out.
That's it. That's leadership again.
Yeah,
we keep circling back to our leadership thing.
Yeah, but it all comes down to that.
If your dog resource guards furniture, they lose their privileges.
That's my rule too.
Does that mean forever? No. Unless they refer back to their old behaviors, yes.
Yeah.
But if it's just... if they adjust and they can listen to the rules that you're going to install, then they can come back onto the furniture again. I do recommend if your dog is resource guarding you, that they can't sleep in a bed with you anymore forever.
Yeah.
I'm a bit of a forever person on that.
Yeah, and it's a tough one, and that's why it's so hard to fix this problem, because this is one that people have trouble accepting.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
It's just, you know, the average person might sleep 8 hours a night, maybe seven, I don't know. Right, but that's 7 hours of your dogs being attached to you. And that attachment needs, because it's an unhealthy attachment, right? So we need to break that a bit. So it doesn't mean they can't sleep in the same room, but it might mean that you need to sleep on a bed next to my bed or in a crate. And can they come back into the bed at some point? Maybe, but you often see that a dog is actually way more settled once they can sleep in their own space.
Yeah.
When they find out, oh, I don't have to be on guard the whole time to resource guard you.
Yeah. But you know, I had clients a long time ago like that, where when the dog was young, she would sleep on the bed with them and she would attack them for moving or anything. Yes.
Yeah,
and so they called me in and I was like, okay, this dog cannot sleep on the bed anymore. If the dog's attacking you, any of you, that's a no.
Yeah.
And so they didn't like that idea. Yeah. And they were like, nah, we can't do it. We love her so much. We just want to sleep with her. And I was like, there's nothing else I can do for you. You know, like, and we remained friends and life went on. 10 years later, the dog is a mean resource guarder of them, other people, everything. And, you know, I'm not saying this could have been fixed there and then, but.
Well, but it could have.
It could have. Because, I mean, she already had predisposition, so she was always going to be a resource guarder. But the path that they could have taken to sort of minimize that, they didn't take it. And they were like, no, but we like to sleep with her. We like to give her this. We like to do this. And I was like, then you're going to have to manage her forever. And that's what they do. Because, you know, 10 years later, she's still there. Oh, and you know, they live like that, and I don't know how, you know, everybody's different. That's how they decided to go. But to contrast it with my own story, our dog Cherry, when she was a puppy, I noticed that she was a resource guarder. And when puppies resource guard, you can see that if you don't do something about it, it can escalate to really bad. So I was on her case her whole life. Like, I never let her resource guard anything. And these days she's 8, and yes, she, if you know, if you give my two dogs the same bone, of course she's gonna resource guard that and like kick the shit out of Toki. But most of the time she yields for everything. If I see her on the couch, she moves away. If the kids want to get past, she moves away. Like, she just, and that's not her natural way. Like, her natural way would have been to resource guard everything. But I went the other path. I went the path of, you can't sleep with us, you can't do this, you can't do that.
And to me, that's things. Just like mind-boggling. Like, how do you want to, why do you want to sleep with a dog that growls and potentially bites you when you are sleeping because you turn off? It doesn't make any sense to me. And why can't you, like, for example, my dog's not sleeping in bed because Zelda's a massive snorer and I like my personal space. But I have them in the bed in the morning when we wake up, because we are on like our phones for an hour before we actually get up. So if you don't have kids, guys, you live a different life.
I do.
So that's when the dogs sleep with us in the bed for a bit. And then at night, it's the same thing. So if we go to bed at 9:30, we don't actually go to bed till 10:30 or 11. So they have like an hour, hour and a half in the bed with us. And then I say bedtime and they run to their crates. And so you do get some of that. But again, it's boundaries of like, no, that's enough.
And in my house, for example, when they were young, if we would let my two dogs sleep on the bed with us, then Cherry would, after a few days, she would start resource guarding the bed and trying to kick Toki out of the bed.
Right.
And that's when she lost her privilege. Like, oh, now you're sleeping in the crate. You're not doing that. And this is how we've been doing it all her life. So in Cherry's case, she loses privilege, earns privilege, loses privilege, earns privilege, and that's how we've
It's like
been
kids,
managing
right? Like
it.
you do the same
Yeah.
with kids. Like, oh, you didn't behave well enough, so I guess you can't do this now. Oh, now you showed me that you are trustworthy, so I'm gonna give you the privilege back. Same as kids.
And that's what we've been doing, and look, it I think it works, because nowadays I can't remember the last time I had to take Cherry, back in her crate for being a meanie. Like she hasn't done it in years, because we've been stopping that behavior from the beginning. So again, leadership,
All about
boundaries.
leadership and relationship and boundaries. And it doesn't mean you have to be a drill sergeant, but it is, you might want to look. Does your dog only listen to you when you have a treat in your hand? Do you have to ask everything of your dog 10 times before they listen? Do they regularly blow you off? That means they just don't see you as a person of value to listen to. So you do also want to work on those things, like, oh, maybe I need to brush up on my obedience a bit, or maybe we need to work on something like door manners. Yeah, I'm not saying like door manners is going to fix your resource guarding, but it's fixing your relationship. For example, if you're going to get dragged out of the door the moment you put the lead on your dog, that's all indications of, oh, that could be better. So your dog understands that you're actually in charge. Great. Do we want to talk about the outside stuff?
I think quickly, because how long
5 minutes. We have 5 minutes left,
Yeah.
everyone. Well, five
Yeah, well,
and
what's the right thing to do if your dog is resource guarding you or protecting you, whichever way you want to put it?
a half. Shall we focus this on people mainly?
Yeah, people.
Not so much dogs. Like reactivity to dogs is like a
Yeah,
different story,
that's a
but
different.
it's like when you're out and your dog barks at every person coming towards you, and they're generally fine with people once they meet them. Yeah, not dogs that are human aggressive no matter what the situation is. Do you want to go?
So to me, again, really simple. If like So this is the case of if you have a dog that's generally okay with people until they come close to you and then they start being like, then yeah, same as you were saying with Leo's owner. It's like, if that's my dog doing that, I'm gonna be like, oi, cut that shit right now. Like, there is no protecting me. There is no resource guarding me, because I want to talk to that person even if I don't know them. And this is not on you to do it. So I would like have my dog on leash and like give him a little pop and be like, hey, you get behind me and let me deal with this.
I would add to that, I would probably body block as well. So if the person comes towards me and my dog is going off, I would step in front of the dog and push them back and go like, oi, no. So same as you, kind of. And this is the moment where you go and tell your dog, stop being a fucking dick. And often if we do that, the dog is like, oh, okay. Right, but because we let it go on for so long, and the most common response when our dogs are doing that, it's like, oh, he's just nervous. Pet, pet, pet. And we're now rewarding the dog for the behavior, and that's why it gets worse.
And if you are that person that this happens to you, and check what you say to that other person. Like, if the first thing you say is, oh, yeah, he thinks I'm being attacked, or anything of that sort, you need to stop saying things like that, because even saying it means you think about it, you
Believing it.
think that way, and your dog thinks that way too. So, you, even if maybe your dog thinks you're being attacked, it's not the case. Like, unless you are really being attacked, in which case, let your dog do whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah,
But if
exactly.
it's not, like in most daily scenarios, you're not being attacked. Someone's just coming to ask you, if the bus is coming.
Yeah, that's
Well,
it.
if that is the case, so make sure you check your feelings. You're not telling that person to excuse your dog. Oh, he's protecting me. Don't say it. Don't say it. Train yourself to not say that. You don't have to tell the person my dog is acting like a dick, because you don't have to say that. But you don't have to say he's protecting me either. Like, that's not true anyway.
That's it.
So stop saying that.
Agreed. Then I think it's also important that you have to address your walk. If your dog pulls you everywhere, you just follow your dog around the whole time, then, you know, put some boundaries. Again, we go back to those boundaries and the general obedience. Like, take a bit more charge of your walk, and you'll already see a massive change in your dog's behavior. Then depending on what you're walking your dog, equipment, I find it's much harder to control a dog on a harness that's lunging forward than if I have a collar on and I can direct them better.
Yeah, and here it depends also of the size of the dog and how much intensity and everything. But yeah, to go back to that leadership is if you're fixing the way you walk with your dog, then your dog starts looking at you like, oh, this guy knows what we're doing. I'm going to refer to him for everything. And if your dog starts referring to you for everything, like, can I sniff here? Is it okay if I go there? Then when a person comes and they're like, oh, fuck, there's a person, then they're going to refer to you and be like, what are we doing with this person? And this is the bit where you're like, yeah, you don't do anything, let me deal with this.
Yeah, that was gold. And I'm writing down when you said that so we can make a reel out of that, because that was awesome.
All right.
I think that covers the majority of it. I mean, again, it's not going to fix your dog, but at least you might understand your dog better. Why your dog is doing certain things. If you have any questions, we'd love to answer them. Feel free to subscribe to our channels, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, wherever, whatever floats your boat. And I hope you enjoy this episode, and I'd love to talk about it on our socials, because I think this is a really good one with a lot of people struggling with this. So Thank you very much, team.
Nice talking to you.
It was. All right. See ya.